Well, tonight we are privileged to have with us Brother Buddy Ray and his wife Sherry, who both reside here in New Boston, Texas. They have been married for 41 years. They have one son and one grandson. Buddy is a graduate of Henderson State University, class of 1978. He told me to say that. He is a retired educator, having coached and taught for 40 years in Northeast Texas and Southwest Arkansas. He began preaching in 2006 and is currently the minister at the DeKalb Church of Christ in DeKalb, Texas, where he also serves as an elder. Brother Buddy Ray has done a fantastic job this week, and I know he will do a fantastic job tonight. My wife asked me if I was going to pull any stunts this evening, and I said, no, I think I'm done with that. She said, you ought to throw the flag, and I said, well, why would I do that? And she said, you know, for all the people who aren't here, you know, they're the ones you need to throw the flag on, because it has been good. It has been really good. And so we're thankful for Brother Buddy Ray being here with us this week. We have tonight's lesson and Tuesday and Wednesday still to come, and so there's plenty of good material left. And if you have the opportunity, please come back and be with us. And without further ado, Brother Buddy Ray.
Good evening. I don't know about y'all, but I judge this to be a good Monday night crowd.
Amen.
Several faces that are here for the third time. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that and how much it encourages me. And I want to tell you, I don't know that there's anyone in the audience tonight that has had a more blessed day today than I have. If you have, you've had a great day. I got to spend the entire day with a bunch of gospel preachers, in the van with three of them and many more around. And I thought about something, and we mentioned it today during the day. I'm sure we crossed paths with a few, maybe in a restaurant or somewhere that weren't, but how many days do you have that you get up at 5 a.m., you leave at 6 a.m., you get home at 4:30 p.m., and your entire day, 99% of the people you associate with are members of the Lord's church? What a great day to be able to spend the day with people like Brother Chris Garota and Brother Jerry Monholland, and I appreciate so much getting to pick their brain and to question them and be with them. And I just want to tell you, I've had a great day. And hopefully tonight we'll cap it off and we'll have a great day, not because of the speaker, but because of the book we're speaking from. I'm going to begin tonight, for those of you who have not been here, with the same way, and I'll begin it that way Tuesday night and Wednesday night. I want to call your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and remind everyone, as I have at every service, as you think about your life, as you think about your condition with your God, you need to be assured that each one of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to appear before that judgment seat, he said. We're going to receive according to what we've done in the body, according to what we have done, whether it be good or bad. I don't say that in any way other than with love to tell you, if you're right with your God, what a glorious day it's going to be when we stand before that judgment seat and we hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You know the question I'm going to ask next that we ask every time from Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. As you consider the word of the Lord and his message and his invitation, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his own soul? Jesus rephrased that question in this way. What will you give for your soul? Tonight, I want you to think about those things, but I want to tell you, hopefully tonight's lesson is going to be encouraging, uplifting to all of us, and one that we can take, and as we pillow our head tonight, we're closer to our God than we were when we started this morning. Brother Jerry mentioned in his prayer, and Barry Haynes and I talked a little bit today as we sat together during one of the sessions. Jerry mentioned that many people are burdened. As we talked today, we said many times we cross paths with individuals, yea, even in the Lord's body, that we look at them and by their actions and by the things that they're doing, we think everything's okay. As we say, they seem to have the world by the tail. Everything's going just right for them, and all is well. But inside, unseen to us, there may be turmoil. And that's what I want us to be uplifted with tonight is this. I want us to go to the Holy Scriptures and talk about blessed assurance, talk about some inner peace, some security of the soul, and some things through Scripture and through Jesus' teaching that can tell us all can be well with us. And as we sang last night, we can truly say, it is well with my soul. I want to begin this way tonight. The reason we look into the Scriptures is this. In John chapter 8, verse 32, that verse simply says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I think we've got to be very careful in today's world to make sure that we're standing on the truth, to make sure that we're preaching the truth. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, you're so familiar with those verses, but I want to make sure we all understand tonight that all Scripture, everything in this book is inspired by God. It's God-breathed. Holy men wrote this down as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It's inspired by God and is profitable for these things, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I want you to hear verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. I want to tell you tonight, brethren, if you're troubled, if you're struggling, if things aren't going just right, if you're looking where to turn, we're told, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But turn your attention to the Scriptures, go into the book, and find that peace, find that comfort, and find that blessed assurance. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, I want you to open to 2 Peter chapter 1 with me. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, and we're going to use that to kick off our lesson, and then we're going to talk about some things that Scripture provide us to help us through troubled times. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have attained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I want you to pay particular attention to verses 3 and 4 there in 2 Peter chapter 1. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see? If you're struggling, if you're hurting, if the world's closing in on you, if you're tempted and you're tried, you need to turn to the great and precious promises that have been made by our God. You need to turn to his holy writings, and you need to understand that he cares for you and he wants you to be at peace. Tonight, I'll offer you this. We're going to begin in this way. Holy Scripture, I believe, promise, these great promises we're talking about, and teach us three things. I can have security of the soul. I can have a true inner peace. And I can have blessed assurance. I want to begin tonight with that word peace. And I want to give you two scriptures that you can mark and you can look at. And let's dissect for just a moment. John 14, 27 that we used Sunday morning. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I want you to pay close attention to what Jesus said. Peace I leave with you. As he was talking to those that he loved most, those that were serving him and walking with him here, he knew he was going to depart. He knew his fate, but yet he said, peace, I'm going to leave with you. You notice he said, I give you my peace. I don't give you what the world gives you. You see, we can't trust in man. When we go to issues of the heart and issues of the soul and issues of that peace and the things that make our life better, the things that draw us closer to our God, we can't depend on man. I don't give you the peace that the world gives you, but I give you my peace, And he said, because of that, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I want to ask you this. When's the last time you could confidently say, Lord, I've had that peace. My heart wasn't troubled. There's nothing weighing strong on it. I'm not fearful of anything. Through your word, I'm being strengthened daily, and because of the peace that you have left me, I can truly say my joy is complete. Don't we yearn for that peace? I said in Bible class Sunday morning, we're all pining for heaven. One of the things as a human that we don't look forward to is this: if the Lord doesn't return, then in order for me to get where I want to go, I've got to die. And that's something that's unknown. That's something that sometimes troubles us. But I want to tell you, with this peace that God supplies, even those chilly waters of death, I can face and I can know that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I can know that when I cross over, that my God will be there to meet me, and that peace will dwell in me, and my home in heaven will be what takes away all of my troubles and all of my fears. So I challenge you, search for that peace. Look for that peace and know where you find it. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, two of my favorite verses. Because it kind of hits at me. We've got a few from DeKalb here, and they know that I've said this before from the pulpit there. You know, Sherry kind of stays on me. I'm sometimes a bit of a worrier. So I go to this verse, oh, so often in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Can you do that tonight? Be anxious for nothing. We said last night, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things he's going to add to us. We can't add one cubit to our stature by worry. He's going to take care of us. He's going to provide the things we need. But that verse goes on and said, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You remember last night, we talked about being thankful. We talked about not taking anything for granted, not missing one opportunity to tell those closest to us that we love them. Not missing one opportunity to know that we can't take anything for granted. I said that last night, and then this morning, about 5:30 or 5:35, I walked in. Last night, Sherry and I discussed, you know, we need to be better about not taking things for granted. We need to make sure we communicate with all this stuff. Well, about 5:35, when I woke her up and kissed her and said goodbye, I'm not so sure she was happy with that. But you see, it's important, so very important, that we don't take any of God's blessings for granted. Amen. It's so very important that those that love us and those that we love make sure on a daily basis that they know that. He said, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Have you gone to your God today and told him what he needs? And I do know that he knows what we need before we ever ask. We know that. But have you been on your knees with thanksgiving and told him what you need? He tells me here, give thanks to me, buddy. Don't worry about things. Make your request known to me. And verse 7 is so beautiful. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. You hear that verse? What a beautiful, beautiful verse. What better to keep my heart, to keep my mind, and what better to guard me day to day as I walk through this life than the peace of God? It surpasses all understanding. It reaches places in me that can't be reached by anything else. It reaches to our souls, and it gives us that comfort and it gives us that serenity that we search for. So I want to tell you from those two scriptures, there's many more we could use, but it is possible to have that inner peace. It is possible to allow God to work his wonders and his great and precious promises and bring that peace to you and me. Secondly, we can have security of our soul. We were talking today on the way home about the plan of salvation and about baptism and about just different things, and make statements like, when things are so clear as to what I need to do and people can read them and they can see them and the Bible can lay it out so perfectly and so simple, why sometimes don't people get it? We don't need to question where we're going for all eternity. We can have the security of our soul that we're going home to be with Jesus and to be with God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 gives me these instructions if I want that security of my soul. He said, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. In Bible class Sunday morning, we talked about Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. You see, it takes that humility. The Apostle Peter says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. All the first shall be last and the last shall be first. What did we say last night? If you want to be the greatest, become a servant. Putting humble yourself. As I go to my God in prayers, I serve him daily. Let go of myself. I'm sure some of y'all will remember this. I mention it back home often. But when I was growing up in Murfreesboro, we sang a song so often. I don't know the exact title of it, but it started out. The first verse said, all of self and none of thee. The second verse said, some of self and some of thee. You get to that last stanza and it says, none of self and all of thee. You see, as we progress through life, that's the progression we've got to make. We've got to go, if we're in that realm, from all of self and none of thee to none of self and all of thee. Humble yourself. In due time, the Lord's going to lift you up. He's going to exalt you. And verse 7 says, casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you. What a powerful verse. I want you to think about something. If you left the building tonight and you had to travel to get home and you broke down, who would you call? You've got someone in your life outside of close family members that you trust, that you lean on, that you know would be there. Certainly, all those in the family of God. But you see, what Peter is saying to us is this. He's always going to answer that call, and he's always going to be there for me when I'm troubled. I can cast all of my cares and all of those burdens on Jesus Christ because he cares for me. I was told by an old coach one time, and that adage has been passed down throughout time, and many, many coaches have used it, but I was given some good advice. He said, let me tell you something about dealing with young men or dealing with young women that you're coaching or young people that you're coaching. They don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. I don't know that we fully get the scope and realize sometimes how much our God cares. He said, put it all on me. What a beautiful, beautiful passage. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. You can quote them. It said, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I want to tell you, if you're looking for comfort tonight, if you're looking for encouragement tonight, if you're looking to leave here on a high note, How about I can cast my cares on him and he's never going to leave me and he's never going to forsake me? Man, doesn't get any better than that when I think about my troubles and cares. Doesn't get any better. Verse 6 goes on to say, he's never going to leave me, he's never going to forsake me, and I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Man, I will not fear. You look at the last part of that verse, sometimes we leave it off. Because the Lord is my helper, because I will not fear, what can man do to me? I've read that verse oh so often and I've thought about it. About the not to be troubled or to fear the man that can kill the body. But think about and fear that one that can kill the body and then kill the soul. But isn't it beautiful to say, I've got a God in heaven that's looking down upon me and he's telling me each and every day, I'm going to be right here. I'm not going to move. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. God's going to be right there. He's going to be right there for me. He's going to be right there with me. He's going to take me through the troubled times. When I think about us sometimes, not calling on our God, I think so much about Peter walking on the water. You know, when he looked out and he saw Jesus coming to him and it's you, Lord. And he wanted to come to him and Jesus basically said, and we'd say, well, come on. Peter stepped out on that water and he began to walk on that water. Then he became afraid. And one of the gospel accounts says he took his eyes off of Jesus. And when he did that, he began to sink. When he began to sink, you know, he immediately reached out for his God and he called for him. And the Lord reached out, lifted him out of that water and saved him. And listen to what he said. He said, oh, ye of little faith. You know, we don't like to say it, but sometimes we've been in that position, hadn't we? We've taken our eyes off of him. We've kind of begun to sink. Then we reach out for him. And he's always there. He's always there. What a beautiful thought to know that I can have that security when I humble myself, when I let God exalt me and lift me up and I don't try to do it myself, when I turn to him for everything. Thirdly, we can have assurance tonight. Romans 8:28, you know that one, you don't have to mark it. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good to those who love God. The Apostle John says in 1 John that he who does not know love does not know God, because God is love. We sing, come, let us all unite to sing, our God is love. And you see, our God is love, and we're told that we love him because he first loved us. When I love him and I abide in him and he abides in me, I'm going to be fruitful. I'm going to bear fruit for him, and things are going to work together for good, and I'm going to be uplifted. And all things are going to go well. I mentioned in one of the earlier sermons, and I think you could say the same thing if we all were truthful with ourselves. Run a little experiment. Each day you live, strive to grow closer to your God and check on this. I said that the times I feel like I'm closest to my God, I'm trying my hardest to do his will and I'm doing the things he's instructed me to do, and I'm living for him, things just seem to go better. Those times when we sometimes wane a little bit and maybe stray a little bit and think I've got all this under control, and we kind of do like old Peter, things don't go so well. But that assurance I have is this: if I love my God, things are eventually going to work together for good. And I'm telling you, it may not be here on this earth. It may not be that I receive all the things I want here, or that everything just goes according to whole, if you will. But I'm telling you, when I enter into heaven, for all of eternity, I will certainly know then that all things have worked together for good. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, when we talk about assurance, says these words: "And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." Eternal life. Can you wrap your mind around that? What about the last verse of Amazing Grace? I can't comprehend. I know what those words say, but it's so hard for the human mind to wrap around when we've been there 10,000 years. We've no less days to sing His praise than when we first begun. You know, Kevin has read that little brochure every night, and I guess he will Tuesday night and Wednesday night, but I seem like he's making a point to let everybody know how old I am. And I told you what I'd spent my week doing. It's now official. When I got home tonight, Sherry greeted me there and said, "Your Medicare card came." So, you know, I say that to make this point. This physical life is so fleeting. When we recognize that at the point I'm at today, I'm sure I have way less years left on this earth than I've spent. But won't it be beautiful to hear this testimony, that His gift to us is eternal life, and 10,000 years, we've no less days. You know that 1 year is as a thousand years is as a day, and a day is a thousand years with our God. Can you even imagine that eternal life? In the time that we have left, and time goes so quickly, I want to promise you this from Scripture. Not only do you have inner peace, not only do you have security of the soul, not only do you have this assurance and this blessed assurance that we sang about, but I want you to leave here tonight knowing this for certain. There are several coaches in this crowd. I can remember many a Friday afternoon I've asked one of the coaches that I was working with, or we'd been watching film all week and preparing, and say, "What do you think? Can we win?" Very few times did somebody say, "Hey, coach, we got it." You know, there's that uncertainty. I don't know, but I want to promise you this. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, the Apostle Paul says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ." I can promise you this: if you live a life of obedience, if you follow in the footsteps of Christ in the pattern that the Scripture said He left for you and me, and you live faithfully until the day you die, I'm promising you, He said, we've got the victory. God promises victory if we do what He told us to do, and we enjoy those great and precious promises, and we live in such a way to bring glory, honor, and praise to His name. Real quickly, Revelation 2:10 I just used. If you want that victory, you got to be faithful until the day you die. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, Jesus said, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." One of the topics that we spoke on today that I listened to all these other men talk about was the word perseverance. And some of the other words that are used in other versions of the Bible, such as steadfast, such as patience. Some of those words, and I want to tell you, brethren, this old Christian life's not a sprint. It's not a sprint. We got to hang in there. We got to stand fast. We got to be strong. We've got to be brave. We got to endure until the end. That's what He said. You're going to be hated for my name's sake. Many people look upon the Lord's body and you know that we're ridiculed. Things are said about us by our beliefs that we have that are based entirely on Scripture, not what we want to make them. But you know, Jesus said there's going to be people that hate his disciples in those days and hate his disciples in these days. But he said, if you'll just endure, if you'll just see it through, you're going to be saved. So amen. So beautiful. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Every time I use this verse, I can see Brother Billy Blakeney. So many times he would close a sermon and he'd begin 1 Corinthians 15:58 about right here, and he would be quoting it as he made his way down the steps and into the aisle to offer the invitation. You know what that verse says. It's so beautiful. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable. I want to tell you, that is a challenge for us in today's world. I want you to let that sink in just a minute. Even in the Lord's body, false teachers rear their head. Things that the Bible says are true and things that we are guided to do for our salvation are being taught in error, sadly, even by some of those in the Lord's body. So what a challenge to me and you. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I think Coach Thomas, Coach Dooley, and if there's any other coaches can understand this, but at one point in my career, I came home and I told Sherry, I'm really troubled that sometimes I get so engrossed in this sport that I'm afraid I'm going to let coaching football become who I am and not what I do. I want to tell you, praise be to God, and let us pray that in living the Christian life, being steadfast and immovable, that can become who we are. Amen. That becomes who we are and also what we do. Abounding in the work of the Lord. And he goes on to say, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I was really down after a football game one night. I came home from where I was coaching. I got home really late, about 1:30 in the morning. Go in, fire the coffee pot up. I'd been coaching probably 35, 36 years. Maybe not that long. Sherry comes in. She said, what's wrong? I said, well, we lost another one. Now, in the school I was at that time, wasn't very good. I kind of was letting my chin drag my tracks out. Hope she doesn't mind me telling this. She said, sit down just a minute. She said, I've lived with you 30 whatever years it was that you've coached football. And she said, I want to tell you what I've noticed. She said, now understand, this is nothing against your ability. She said, the years we've had really good players, we seem to win a lot. The years we don't have very good players, we don't win many. Let's go to sleep. Isn't that the vanity of some of the things on this life? We can laugh about those things, and I enjoy telling that, and Dustin kind of told me one of the same stories about that, but you quickly realize what I'm here for is not the job I do to make my living. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. I got to do it. I got to support my family. I got to do those things. But what I'm here for is what the Apostle Paul said, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because I'll promise you that's never going to be in vain. That's never going to be looked back on and say, oh, I am so sad that I spent 40 years, all of that time, on something that when it came to the end of the day, really didn't matter. But serving the Lord is all that matters to us that love Him. Be steadfast. Stand strong in the word. Be immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. I want to use 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, and then we're going to read a couple of verses from Romans, and the lesson is yours. You know this verse, and I want to tell you, it's one that I have highlighted and I read almost every time I open my Bible, because it gives you the ultimate blessed assurance. The Apostle John said, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. You hear who he's writing it to? He's writing it to me and you. I'm writing to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, and here's what he says, that you may know that you have eternal life. We're going to sing the invitation song in just a minute. And I'm going to say this. Only you and God know where you stand with Him. See, this verse tells me that whatever condition I'm in with my God tonight, I know it. He goes on to say, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. I want to tell you, buddy, I'm telling you these things so that you may know you've got eternal life, and I'm telling you these things so you may go on and continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And I want to leave you with this. Everyone, turn your Bible to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to give you a minute to get there. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn there, because I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to read along with me, and I want you to hear it. And here's the ultimate encouragement. We talked about Jesus caring about us and us casting our cares upon Him, about Him never forsaking us and never leaving us. I want you to hear verses 38 and 39 as the Apostle Paul closes this chapter to the church in Rome. He said, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing." He pretty well covers the whole spectrum, doesn't he? Pretty much we could sum all of that up and say, "For I am persuaded that there is nothing." But all of those things he listed, none of them shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I ask you this question tonight. Are you in Christ Jesus? You see, the way you get into Christ Jesus, as we discussed today, is this. You got to hear the words, you got to believe, you got to repent of those sins. You've got to confess that name of Jesus, but you've got to be baptized, immersed, and baptized for the remission of those sins. You'll rise, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 4, to walk in newness of life. You'll become a new creation, but you are baptized into Christ. And that's the only way to get into Christ. Amen. And that love that I can't be separated from is in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus tonight? Are you taking advantage of those great and precious promises? Are you walking in the light as He is in the light? If you are in Christ Jesus and you falter, the Apostle John tells us in his writings that when we repent of those sins, we turn from them again, we own up to those sins, and we pray to our Father about them, He is faithful to forgive us. Tonight, do you want to enjoy all the blessed assurance? The chorus to that song that Kevin led said, "This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. That's the way I leave the corruption of this world. And I walk in Christ Jesus, and I enjoy that inheritance which He has prepared for me tonight. If it's not well with your soul, as we said last night, if everything in your life is not right with God, that's our sermon topic tomorrow night. I want you to come back. We're going to explore the question, is thy heart right with God? If your heart's not right with God tonight, He implores you, don't leave this assembly without making it right. I should have been listening more closely to Kevin's invitation song, but why not tonight? The invitation song that was sung when I was baptized. I think the verse, I knew I wanted to do it, but the verse that prodded me